Good evening. Welcome back to the Lord's house, where we are ready to receive another portion of His holy and divine word. We thank you so much for making the time to come back to hear His word. Before I get started, received a call from Brother Ed Ambrose. He is in town, and he's not feeling well. He has flu-like symptoms, so we want to remember our Brother Ed in our prayers. Also, my wife Michelle is not feeling well. She wasn't feeling well this morning, so we decided that she should stay home and get some rest, so we want to keep Michelle in our prayers as well. And then finally, our brother Lester Beans is not feeling well and was unable to come back tonight as well, so we want to remember him in our prayers. A lot of sickness is going around, but we're glad that you're here, that you're taking time to come to hear another portion of God's holy and divine word. I want to thank you for the many comments that was given to me on this morning's lesson. It's always encouraging to receive that because we're all in this together. And we're just trying to look at life the way God will have us to see it so we can be victorious in the end. There's no reason that any of us should miss heaven. Amen. No reason. Everything has been given for us to do. We just need to be obedient to His word. And I'm so glad that you're taking advantage of it tonight. Thank you, Brother Calvin, for leading songs. Brother Jonathan, for your prayer. Donald, for opening us up. Appreciate it so very much. And as I promised on this morning, we want to talk about a king's legacy. And our king that we were discussing on this morning, we will tonight as well, is King Hezekiah. And we learned some things about him on this morning. A great king. The Bible says there was none like him before or after. He was a godly king who went about to do many wonderful things that we read about, a great reformer. And then we just kind of talked about his life and how that even the great king Hezekiah had no right to come before God to remember him for the good deeds that he had done, but simply because of his prayers and his tears, which God heard and seen, was God able to respond to him and, of course, give him the 15 additional years on his life. But we want to continue to look at King Hezekiah. And over in 2 Kings chapter 20, we'll find after this great addition to his life was given by God, again, verse 5 would tell us that Isaiah went to him after he'd been told that to get his house in order, that he will return. The Bible says in verse 5, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer, and I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord." Now, the Lord didn't say, God didn't say go up on the first day, the second day, nor the fourth day. He was to go up on the third day if he was going to be healed. God means exactly what he says. And 6 says, "And I will add to your days 15 years, and I will deliver you in this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake and for the sake of my servant David." Then the Bible says in verse 7, "Then Isaiah said, take a lump of figs." So they took it and laid it on the boar, and he recovered. So God allowed him to recover from his sickness. But then we find in verse number 8, one of the greatest Old Testament miracles that's ever been done. You have to look at the power of God, and God proves once again that he is the creator of all things. That things work according to what he wanted to, even if it means breaking the norm. He is the one who has said, and this great miracle that was given, that was done as a sign to Hezekiah that he will be made well and that he will be victorious as he go up against the enemies that was against him. The Bible says, "And Hezekiah said to Isaiah, what is the sign that the Lord will heal me and that I should go up to the house of the Lord the third day? Then Isaiah said, this is the sign to you from the Lord, that the Lord would do the thing which he has spoken. Shall the shadow of go forward 10 degrees or go backwards 10 degrees? And Hezekiah answered, it is an easy thing for the shadow to go down 10 degrees, but to let the shadow go backwards 10 degrees. All he's saying is that when you looked at the day, back in ancient time, they marked time because they didn't have a watch. They didn't have the phone that we have. They had to look at the sun in its position to determine what time of day it was. And all he's saying, Hezekiah, is it's nothing for the sun to go forward and go 10 degrees. Well, we see that all the time. But what if it goes backwards 10 degrees? In other words, what if time stopped and God reversed it and it went backwards? That would be the sign to me that, that God is with me. And as he began to look at this great miracle that was being done, Isaiah picks up at verse number 11 and says, "So Isaiah the prophet cried out to the Lord, and he brought the shadow 10 degrees backwards by which it had gone down on the sundial of Ahaz." A miracle like no other that only God can do, you see, that he can start time, stop time, reverse time, because he is God Almighty. I just want to make mention of that great miracle that was done, you see, because when we move on and continue to look at the life of Hezekiah, Hezekiah had his problems in his day. Don't think for a moment that he was a godly king and did all these wonderful things, that he didn't have outside pressure. He had people trying to overtake his nation. There were enemies trying to do and destroy him. And one such person began to threaten Hezekiah. And listen to the words that he had to say. Look at chapter 19, 2 Kings chapter 19. And let's start reading at verse number 8. Sennacherib's threat and Hezekiah's prayer. The Bible says at verse number 8, "Then the Rabshakeh returned and found the king of Assyria warring against Libnah. For he heard that he had departed from Lachish. And the king heard concerning Tirhaka, king of Ethiopia, 'Look, he has come out to make war with you.' So he again sent messengers to Hezekiah, saying," notice this, "'Thus you shall speak to Hezekiah, king of Judah, saying, do not let your God in whom you trust deceive you, saying, Jerusalem shall not be given into the hand of the king of Assyria. Look, you have heard what the kings of Assyria had done to all the lands by utterly destroying them, and shall you be delivered? Have the gods of the nation delivered those whom my fathers have destroyed, Gozan and Haran and Rabzeph, and the people of Edom who were in Telisa? Where is the king of Hamath, the king of Arpad, and the king of the city of Seraphim, Hena and Ava? And Hezekiah received the letter from the hand of the messengers and read it. And Hezekiah," notice this, "went up to the house of the Lord and spread it before the Lord." Amen. There's something to be said about when life gets difficult, when problems come about, to take it to the Lord, you see, as Hezekiah did, and spread it before the Lord. I'm going to have a conversation with God concerning this. Why? I don't want to be overwhelmed. Sometimes there are things out of my hands that I can't do. Therefore, I'm going to take it to the house of the Lord, and I'm going to talk about it. The Bible goes on to say at verse number 15, "Then Hezekiah prayed before the Lord and said, O Lord God of Israel, the one who dwells between the cherubim, you are God, you alone. Of all the kingdoms of the earth, you have made heaven and earth. Incline your ear, O Lord, and hear. Open your eyes, O Lord, and see and hear the words of Sennacherib, which he has sent to reproach the living God. Truly, Lord, the kings of Assyria have laid waste to the nations and their lands and have cast their gods into the fire, for they were not gods, but the work of men's hands, wood and stone. Therefore, they destroyed them. Now, therefore, O Lord our God, I pray, save us from his hand, that all the kingdoms of the earth may know that you are the Lord God, you alone." You see, this king wasn't just talking. This king was factual. It was a known fact that Assyria was ruling the land. And a lot of kings had been destroyed and people carried off to captivity. Everybody knew that. But he is saying, and he is boasting against God, said, "Tell Hezekiah, don't be fooled by your God. Don't listen to your God, you see, when he said that you won't be delivered into the hands." How many other nations out there who we know have been delivered? What make you different? What make you special?
Well, the Bible says that Hezekiah took it to the Lord and began to talk to him. And what a beautiful request. What a beautiful prayer that he had to God. You are God. You alone. You made the heavens and the earth, you see. Hear and incline your ear to what's being said. Save us, is what he's saying, from the hands of this evil man. Save us. And that's no different from you and I. When there are problems in our lives, we need to go to God and ask him to save us. When you begin to continue to read verses 20 through 37, you'll find out what God did to this king. Destroyed 185,000 of them. And the Bible says when he went up to pray to his false god, his own sons came and stabbed him in the back and ran off in the land. God will have his way. When we trust God, you see, when there are problems that seem to overwhelm us, no matter what the evil may be, God is able. And that's a lesson that we learn from this great king. But what can be said of this great king of Judah? His legacy. We learned this morning that his legacy was to overcome an evil father, King Ahaz. We learned that. His legacy also was a great reformer. He brought worship back to God's people the way God intended for it to be. Another great legacy for him. His legacy was trusting God during very difficult times, which we just read about. You know, Hezekiah was a great king. And just as the Bible says, none like him before or after. But Hezekiah was still a man. Still a man that made his mistakes, just like you and I do, right? I love reading about Hezekiah because he is so close to being a Christian, or Christian close to being Hezekiah. Why? We know what to do. We've tried our best to do it. But in spite of that, sometimes we make mistakes, right? Well, the Bible says, and we continue to read about Hezekiah, that Hezekiah had a little problem. In fact, he had two little problems that he did in all of that. Remember that prayer that he made with weeping eyes, asking God to heal him and to show him a sign, those things that was done for him? Well, we begin to look at the Bible. Let's find out some of the concerns or some of the faults, if you will, of this great king. Turn to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Yes, sir. 2 Chronicles chapter 32. Verses are 24 through 26. Here's Hezekiah. Notice what the Bible says. In those days, Hezekiah was sick and near death. And he prayed to the Lord, and he spoke to him and gave him a sign. Notice this. But Hezekiah did not repay according to the favor shown him. For his heart was lifted up. Therefore, the wrath was looming over him and over Judah and Jerusalem. Then Hezekiah humbled himself for the pride of his heart. He and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the wrath of the Lord did not come upon them in the days of Hezekiah. God does not play. Amen. This man was a great king. This man had a problem. He was not humble before God, and God was prepared to deal with him. But thanks be to God that Hezekiah is wise enough to say, there is a problem. I will humble myself before God, you see. So he had a problem. He had lifted up his heart. You see, there was some pride there with this king. You know, it's hard to be a king. Amen. And everywhere you go, people say, long live the king. King, you are the greatest. A king ransom. All those things that's been done for the king. Everybody wants your attention. Sooner or later, it got to go to your head, right? But you have to guard against that. And you see, his heart was lifted up. But look at verse number 27. Here's another situation with Hezekiah that we need to be made aware of. Hezekiah had very great riches and honor. And he made himself treasuries for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, and for all kinds of desirable items. Storehouses for the harvest of grain, wine and oil, and stalls for all kinds of livestock, and folds for flocks. Moreover, he provided cities for himself and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance. For God had given him very much property. This same Hezekiah also stopped the waters of the outlet of the upper Gihon and brought the waters by tunnels to the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. This is what Hezekiah did, right? The Bible says, however, regarding the ambassador of the prince of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder, what was done in the land, God withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. What is the Bible saying? God gave him all this stuff, tested him to see if it would go to his head. That's what the Bible is saying. Sometimes the Lord has blessed many of us, given us outstanding blessings in life, right? And sometimes we need to understand that maybe God are blessing us in such a way to see if those things or that stuff will go to our head. And if it does, shame on us. And don't be surprised if God decides to take it back again. So we look at this man, right? God testing him. I don't know why God tested him, but he saw the need to. He is trying to perfect this man, just like he tries to perfect you and I. But the Bible says he had much, much property. It was all given to him, and therefore he was tested. So why was he tested? What would seem to be the problem here? What would indicate this testing that was needed and him to humble himself? Well, turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. Let's go back there, please. 2 Kings chapter 20. And let's start reading at verse number 12. Remember now, he had been sick, told he was going to die, given 15 additional years, promised a sign, saw the sign with the sundial of Ahaz, and now the Bible rolls on, and look where it picks up, at verse number 12, 2 Kings chapter 20. At that time, Beldad-Baladan, the son of Baladan, king of Babylon, sent letters and a present to Hezekiah, for he heard that Hezekiah had been sick. And Hezekiah was attentive to them and showed them all the house of his treasures, the silver and gold, the spices and precious ointment, and all his armory, all that was found among his treasures. There was nothing in the house or in all his dominion that Hezekiah did not show them. You know, part of his problem might have been when these visitors came to see all the gold and all the precious things that he had, that maybe he didn't glorify God. Maybe they tell that it's by God's might that I'm living today to show you these things. But these people came and he showed them everything that he had. Strangers. Is that a good idea? If somebody comes to your house and you open up and show them everything that you got, it's not a good idea. But he's so proud. They're coming to see me. You see? So we look at the reason why God would test him and God would ask him to humble himself. The Bible goes on and said, verse number 14, that didn't sit well with God, and God spoke to his prophet Isaiah about it, right? Then Isaiah the prophet went to King Hezekiah and said to him, what did these men say and from where did they come to you? So Hezekiah said, they came from a far country, from Babylon. And he said, what have they seen in your house? So Hezekiah answered, they have seen all that is in my house. There is nothing among my treasures that I have not shown them. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the days are coming when all that is in your house and what your fathers have accumulated until this day shall be carried to Babylon. Nothing shall be left, says the Lord. And they shall take away some of your sons who will descend from you, whom you will beget. And they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon. That's why you don't tell people your business, particularly strangers and so forth, you see. That's why the Bible says his heart had been lifted up. There was so much pride there. Things that he had. People hearing about it. Come from a far country to see supposedly about you. That's not what they were interested in. They were spies. Because they knew they were going to go in and try to overtake those things. And God has made it available to Isaiah to tell Hezekiah that is what's taking place. They didn't come to see you because they like you. They came to see you and your stuff as to what they can get. But the Bible goes on, you see, as Isaiah rebuked him for this. The Bible is plain when you begin to look at what it has to say. Now, when we get to verse number 19, it's one of the strangest responses that I've ever seen in the Bible. You've just been told that all the things that you and your fathers before you have accumulated will be carried off into Babylon. Notice what he says at verse number 19. So Hezekiah said to Isaiah, "The word of the Lord which you have spoken is good. For he said, will there not be peace and truth at least in my days?" What a response, right? He is the king of Judah. He has enemies all around him. He has all these things that he must consider. He has been given this news of the future of his people. What is going to be your legacy, you see? What's going to be left behind? Will it be said that you were responsible for all those things being carried away? It's a strange response that he gives. It's strange because he said, okay, I hear what you said. The word that you give me from the Lord is good. It's good because at least in my day, there will be peace and truth. What a strange response. A very strange response. But you know what? As I look at it, Hezekiah is Hezekiah. God worked with him. God has a plan. From the very foundation of this world, God had a plan. And no matter what king, no matter what, if that king was evil, good, heathen, or not, they all work for the cause of God. God has a master plan. So in defense of King Hezekiah, because I don't want to be too tough on him, I'm not a king, and I wasn't king of Judah. I didn't have all the pressures of people trying to destroy me and my people. Who am I to say to Hezekiah, what a selfish thing to say or to do? No, that's not my place. And I don't believe it's yours either. God, you see, had a master plan. This is where the man responded. And you know, when you look at it, when you break it down, when you say, okay, Hezekiah is a man like you and I, right? Men and women. What's wrong with his request? What's wrong with a king not wanting peace in his day? Do you know what happened to a king when there's no peace? Do you know what happened to a king when there's no food to eat? Do you know what happens to the king? He get rushed and destroyed. Why? Because the people are going to blame him. So all the pressure that Hezekiah has around him, he says, this news that you bring me, though I'm sorry for the future, at least in my day, there will be peace. I will not judge Hezekiah's legacy on the response of verse number 19. Because I did not have his pressures. You see, God is going to work his plan. And in the end, when we look at this king that the Bible talks about, none like him before or after, it's a good thing. Because when you look at him, he died being honored by his people. Go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 32. 2 Chronicles 32. Chapter 32. And verse is 33. Here's the end and the death of Hezekiah. Let's jump up to verse 32. Now the rest of the acts of Hezekiah and his goodness indeed, they are written in the vision of Isaiah the prophet, the son of Amos, and in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. So Hezekiah rested with his fathers, and they buried him in the upper tombs of the sons of David. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem honored him in his death. Then Manasseh, his son, reigned in his place. It ended well for him. That's why I won't judge his legacy. Because God had a plan for him, you see. This man died with honor. His people loved him. He is seen, and his legacy is a great king. And that's why the Bible says none like him before or afterwards. What a great king we have. We ought to be grateful and think we have that king, because the rest of them just about was just as bad can be. Thank God for King Hezekiah and the great lessons that he has given you and I. That's a king's legacy. But you know what? We're going to have a legacy too, right? We may not be kings, and I know, you know, the man of the house, I'm king of this castle and all of that. Well, that's between you and your wife and your family. We're not kings, but we are priests. And we have a work to do. And we have a legacy to leave behind. What did you teach your family? Did you save your children? Did you teach them what they needed to know? What did you do on your job? How did you treat your friends who did not know the Lord? There is a legacy that's going to be left behind, you see, and we need to be concerned about that. We don't need to judge each other's legacy. I don't need to know what you're doing, nor you need to know what I'm doing. Let's just do what the Lord says and do His will and reach out to as many people as possible to tell them about the love of God and the gospel of His Son, Jesus Christ. Hezekiah had his legacy. We have our legacy. And when we die in the end, as Hezekiah did, will we be honored among God's people? Will good things be said about us as far as the work of the Lord's church? Let that be said, you see. And that's why we will not judge and we come in defense of King Hezekiah. It could be tonight that someone is not a child of God. If that be the situation, we want to encourage you tonight to become a child of God. You come by hearing His word, believing His word, repenting of your sins, confessing Jesus Christ to be the Son of God, being baptized in water for the remission of your sins, and remaining faithful until the end. Those are the steps that you would take to become a child of God, to remain a child of God. There's no greater thing that you would do in your life. And most of us here tonight, if not all, are already members of the Lord's body. Hang on to God's unchanging hand. The world is in iniquity. All kind of things are being said. People are trying to yank you and I away from the Lord. If it's not through politics, TV, commercials, movies, you name it. They're all trying to take us away from the Lord. We have the best thing that this life can offer. We are children of God. Somehow, some way, we worked out our own salvation by the grace of God, by the mercy of God. Somebody came into our lives and taught us. Somebody took time out to show us what the Bible had to say. And to our credit, we said yes to Jesus. We are on that road, you see. Don't let anybody detour you from where you need to go. We are on our way to the Lord, you see. We want to take as many people with us as possible, but don't let anybody rob you of your salvation. The church of Christ is right. The Bible says so. And we should have no shame when it comes to that. We should tell the world they need to be part of it as well. Why are you worrying about other people? Don't you condemn the world. I'm not trying to condemn anybody. I'm trying to get to heaven and take as many with me as possible. We have done it. Do not leave the Lord. Some of us in this audience are younger. You're going to grow up. You're going to get married. You're going to have a spouse. You're going to make a decision. In the church, out of the church. Somewhere, you know, maybe you marry somebody out of the church. Maybe they drive you away. That's why we speak against it. Have nothing against your little boyfriend or your little girlfriend. Don't care nothing about that. I know that if you marry somebody outside the Lord, it increases the chance that you're going to leave the Lord. And we got enough pressure out there already, you see? So that's why we say and we push and say, marry in the church. You stand a better chance, you see, of holding on to God and the good thing that has been given to us. If you're a child of God tonight and you have not lived in such a way that will be pleasing unto God. This morning we said to remember me. We close by saying, remember what? What have we done, you see? Our prayers and our tears, God will hear as we pray for this world. But don't let anybody rob you of your salvation. And tonight, if you have not lived according to his plan, please come down tonight. Give us the opportunity to pray along with you. God will forgive you. All will be well with him. And that's all that matters in this world. If you're here tonight and you need a prayer,
or you know someone is, why don't you come back together? We stand and sing the invitational song.